This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast with Dean, Dylan, and Venus.
This is Mad Wednesday on Joy, and Dean, we have a very special guest in the studio.
We do. We are not alone. We are joined by the award-winning and fabulous Paul Capsis. Hello.
Oh, thank you. I love you. Oh, you're marvellous. Oh, channeling Judy Garland. Wrong show.
But it's certainly the right radio station.
I know, right?
We have no roses to throw. We also have no tomatoes to throw. So,
Why would we throw tomatoes at Paul Capsis?
I don't know. We haven't seen the show yet. Well, we haven't seen his performance yet. Every performance is different.
Indeed.
Have you ever seen? You haven't seen? Oh, you obviously haven't ever seen Paul perform at all, have you?
Yeah, I'm going to see him perform over the next few minutes.
This is true because
there are generations who don't know who I am,
and that's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous, and I don't know how they couldn't because you are amazing.
I did a show at the Opera House with Trevor Ashley a few months ago. And then afterwards, I came out and said hi to some of the people, and there were people who came up to me and said, "Who are you? I've never seen you perform before." And I thought, "I've only been performing for 35 years in Australia." But there you go. That's what happens when you're an underground artist.
That's the way that it rolls. I wouldn't say you're an underground artist. I was about to say underground. Absolutely not. Well, we've got you here today because you are going to be doing a production of Resident Alien.
Mm-hmm. Revisiting it.
Revisiting it. Well, and it's coming up very soon, isn't it?
In a minute.
In a couple of weeks, it's happening here in Melbourne, but you're also doing Brisbane. Now, what's exciting about this is you're playing Quentin Crisp.
Yes.
Now, that's an exciting role to be re-performing.
It's a hugely challenging role because he's English and I'm Australian and he was born in a different time. And we did the show 2 years ago at 45 Downstairs, where we're doing just five performances only at 45 Downstairs. And it was my favourite venue in Australia to perform it because of the proximity to the audience. Mm. Because it's like you're in Quentin's filthy apartment in New York.
And do they have the three tier, like the three, I don't know what, the bunches of seating like they normally do?
Yeah,
well. So you can see the side, you can see
Mr.
the side.
Mr. Luke is here, the producer, and who had the idea to put
quiet.
On the show. But yes, it is. And they're very close. And I remember loving it because there were nights when a group of homosexuals would come in to see the show, and they were young and I guess weren't that aware of Quentin's philosophy or the kind of things that Quentin, he was a very contradictory man, Quentin Crisp, and I remember they'd be sitting there going huffing and puffing and going, oh, because of the things he'd say, the contradictory
with the 2018 PC way of looking at the world.
It seems odd to think that people don't, especially LGBTI men don't know who Quentin Crisp was.
That's exactly right.
It just seems strange.
Well, he's been gone now for nearly 20 years. This will be the 19th year anniversary of his passing. Mm. And a book just came out, which is called The Last Word, which is a fantastic book. I just read it. I got it on Amazon. And it's basically Quentin Crisp recorded in the very last year of his life at 90 years old.
Wow.
And what he was thinking and he just wanted to die. Basically, and the guy who put the book out was his carer and the executor of his will, a guy called Philip Ward. And he writes because Quentin was famous for not cleaning.
Okay.
That was part of his
philosophy. Dean's also famous
for not
cleaning.
I've been moving into my apartment for 7 years now and it's going really well.
Is it? You're like Quentin, you don't clean?
Yeah, I don't clean. I just clean around things.
Wow, because I'm so typical WOG, I have the cleaning curse. I have to clean.
My mother is no longer allowed into my apartment because it would drive her absolutely insane. And I clean around the surfaces, but I've just constantly got piles.
Well, unfortunately, I was brainwashed. had I grown up with Quentin's philosophy, you know, blown up on the wall about his not ever cleaning, you know, he says in the play, well, he actually said this a lot to anyone who'd ever listened to him. He'd say, you know, I live in the same way as I lived in London, in an apartment that I haven't cleaned for 4 years. I haven't cleaned for 18 years after the first 4 years. It doesn't get any worse. It's just a question of not losing your nerve.
I can attest to that. I can say that's very true.
How do you
that
was a bit accent. Of him. That yeah. was the accent. I was going to go, how do you... You're obviously not a British
no,
man. How do you channel that?
English is not even my first language. But I guess just from listening, a lot of listening. And I just found this recording of Quentin. There's so much stuff that keeps coming out of this man. It's quite extraordinary because he never said no to an interview or an opportunity to meet people. So he was always being filmed and always being recorded. And
well, that's great for you.
I know, right? It is, because there's just endless material. And I just listen to him all the time and I watch him all the time, like I did in 2016 when we did the play. And it's just, but for me, it's actually about reading a lot about the man and trying to go beyond just the surface. Because Quentin had a performance kind of character. He would perform himself, basically. He was being himself, but he had another kind of persona. But then I've got these recordings where he's talking just with a guy in his apartment about everything, and he's so different. It's he's laughing and he's, you know, making jokes, but ultimately he says the same thing about cleaning, the same thing about, you know, living. Quite amazing. Yeah.
So you've been this was 2 years ago that you you're revisiting the role.
Yeah.
Is it exciting or excessively more daunting a little bit when you've got to recreate what that character means to you and you've stepped away from it, now bringing it back again?
Yeah, well, it is. It's daunting because he says so much. He has a lot of stuff he says.
Is that learning lines? Or?
It's learning lines, but it's, yes, of course. But the first time was really quite a challenge because I normally don't get asked to, when I do theatre, to be a character where I don't sing. And the only time I ever did that was when I played my grandmother in a play I wrote called Angela's Kitchen, which was about my Maltese side of my heritage. So this was playing a person who, apart from us both being homosexual, that's kind of where our similarities begin and end. But he is from a different time. He was born in 1908. He grew up in middle-class family in England. And he had such a different life. But the other thing about him, where we are also similar, was that he was persecuted for his homosexuality, for being obvious. But Quentin, his obviousness, he ramped it right up. He never tried to hide it. So in England in the 20s and 30s, there was this man, young man, getting around with red hair and nail polish and lippy and a rouge and walking down, you know, the street, throwing his arms around. And he was beaten up. He was spat at, stomped, slapped, you know, throughout the whole time. And then the war happened. And he says that was the great time because he said the lights were always out. And he said, and all of a sudden, but people were scared of you-know-who and therefore were kinder to each other. He said, and then the war ended and everything went back to normal.
Wow.
That's, I know,
interesting,
right?
Philosophy.
It's interesting, man, that you kind of look at history just constantly repeating itself as well. Like, that's true to a story that so many people have nowadays.
Absolutely. I was talking to Cameron about Quentin on the tram just before. It was saying about what would he say about the current situation. He would have a lot to say about the growing conservatism around the world, in England, in America, in Australia, the kinds of things that we are going backwards about. But also he did talk a lot about homosexuals wanting to be like real people. He never understood that. He always thought he actually says, and it's in the play, he talks about equality, which is a really interesting thing. He says, equality is a dead word. Never desire to be anyone's equal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
His whole thing was be who you are. Be outside the square. Don't Don't try and be like the Joneses. Drag them down to your level.
Oh, my God. I love this so much.
I know, right? Get so onto it, kids. Quentin, yeah. Quentin, Quentin.
And, well, instead of just looking up Quentin, 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 they can come and see the show.
The play. It's all in the play.
It's all in the play. And you can save yourself this hassle of Googling on your phones.
And all that theatre. Books are for writing, not for reading. That's one of his quotes.
Oh, well, there you go. You're just not going to stop, I don't think, are you?
I think I'm giving you a whole play right now.
Oh, I love it.
45 downstairs. 5 shows only.
This is Mad Wednesday on Joy.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dean. Happy birthday to you. Hip hip. Come on, everybody.
You've been listening to a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast, driving you home and keeping you sane for your hump day, live every Wednesday from 4 on Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.